say you're gonna print it for me?
You go right ahead.
Do what?
You go right ahead.
Come on, Eddie, you can do it.
Oh, they are gonna do it.
Hallelujah.
Hasn't God been good to each one of us? And hasn't God been good to the church, to the missionaries? And I tell you, I don't know of a thing in the world I'd want. The only thing that I would look for this week, and I would love to see happen this week, is a soul that's lost on the way to hell, but yet they come and hear the gospel, and they surrender and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart, and it changed our life. And they would promise him that they would serve him. That's the only thing that I'd like to see, is somebody come to know Jesus. Because I tell you, it's few and far between today. And there's a whole lot of these churches out here now, it's saying that they've had this saved and that saved. And that. I don't know about it, because there's a whole lot of them ain't coming back to church. They said they're getting saved. Now, I think if you truly get saved, this is me now. I believe God's going to put in their heart the same thing that he's put in each one of our hearts here. That we want to be in God's house. But if you will, turn this morning for a little while in Matthew. One verse that I want to read, but then I'm going to be referring in to Acts. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Let me start back at verse 17. I'm going to read 17 to you first. Acts chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, and maybe 19. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give up, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be lost in heaven. This is speaking about Peter. This is speaking about the church. And speaking about also the one that's the head of the church. The one to give the individuals the answer they need in serving the Lord, and also serving the church. We know as far as the church is the individual believer. That's me and that's you. That's the only reason. We can leave, each one of us can leave and go out of this building right here, and it ceased. And it ceased to become Faith Baptist Church. But it becomes now Faith Baptist Church. Why? Because we're all here by faith. And we're all here serving a God in heaven that loves us unboundedly. And he wants to give us his blessings. He wants to teach us the things that he wants us to understand. Yeah, we go ahead and we can read the Bible. We can pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us what it's saying. But unless God allows the Holy Spirit to teach us, we're not going to understand anything we read for that day. Because the reason why for that is because we will not face that problem that day. If we face a problem next week, then God will give us that extra unmerited faith and love through his word. He will give us something to be able to conquer that problem that we're going to end up going through. Because if he don't give it to us, we cannot conquer it. We can't even get through it. But I want you to realize one thing. If there's a problem, and we don't know what's going to bring tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Because he said, tomorrow never gets here. And he said, Preacher, why did you say you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, I don't. Neither do you. But in God's word, there is no tomorrow. Speaking about the next day. He is a God of love. He's a God of worship. And God wants to worship with us. But you know something? God's not going to worship with us if we don't worship with him first. That's the same way with our prayer life. That's the same way that we should serve him, and we should serve him with everything that we have. When we get up in the mornings and when we go out, or if we go to the Harleys or somewhere like that, to sit down with some people or something and just sit there and talk for a little while and eat breakfast and all that. We can still serve the Lord there. We can still serve the Lord. We can still ask God to help us, that he may strengthen our body with the food that the people has prepared for us to take upon. That it will strengthen us for the journey of the rest of that day. Because see, if God don't strengthen us, then we cannot get to the next place. We'll fail every time. And I see people fail too much here lately. I see people backsliding back into sin. The sin they once was in. We don't need that. The Bible tells us, the Bible teaches us, if we see a brother or a sister that's in fault, that's doing something wrong. And they say that they love God and they serve God and they hit the church all the time. If they're doing something wrong and we see it, God says we must bring it to their attention that God does not approve of it. But we don't do that. You know why we don't do it? And I'm going to be the first to tell you. Reason why we don't do it. Reason why I don't want to do it. The reason I don't do it is because I may hurt someone's feelings. I may hurt their feelings to the point that they may get further and further away from God. That's my fear, is that I may say something wrong to them that they won't come back to God. They will walk farther and farther away from God. That's the fear that I have for my own life. And I won't approach them. But God's word says that's one of his commandments. That's one of his commandments that we must do. We must follow his word. The only commandment we need is right here. It's the only commandment we need is right here. Because every one of them tells us exactly what we must do and whom we must serve. And I know that God has specific commandments and it speaks about specific commandments. But if we stay with this book, and if we read this book for what it says, and if we carry on our daily livelihood according to this book, then we're living by his commandments. But it's not many people that's doing it to stand time. And I hate to say it myself. I mean, when you tell another individual that to where they just got saved and you talk to them afterwards and you tell them that what the things that God expects of them and you'll come up and you'll say, well, God did not say it'd be a bed of roses. God did not say that you'll have hard times. God did not say this, and he didn't say that. But he just said one thing that we all can take and put it in our box at the home, our treasury box or whatever, or if you got a safety deposit box, we can go right there to the safety deposit box and we can put a little note in there that means everything in the world to us. And what that little note will say is that we know that God will not fail. He will not disown us. Why? Because we'll a child of God. We're his children. And I'm not no stepchild of the Father either. He is my Father. He's my heavenly Father. And being my heavenly Father is that he's above my earthly father. He's above anyone else. How can I come to you and really and talk to you about something that's on my heart and ask you to pray for me for that specific prayer? If I have not prayed and asked God for it, do you honestly think that God is going to answer your prayer? No, I don't think he would. But he will answer the prayer when two come together. It always takes two. Always takes two individuals. Takes two individuals to touch the things there in heaven. It takes two individuals to be able to lead somebody else to the Lord Jesus. Always to somebody else. And I'm so thankful that he's allowed me to be a part of his family. Did you realize that we're part of his family? And we're not just a part of a family that's in the distance. Because today, you know, and I know probably each and every one has been to family reunions. We go to family reunions today, and we'll go and we'll get there, and we'll see so many people there before that we haven't seen in 5, 10, 15 years. But yet then we'll go up and we'll start talking to them, and it's like we've always known them. I think everybody's always known God and knows of him. They just don't want to surrender. They don't want to serve something else that they got to give an account to. See, because the devil itself, the devil, he don't ask for no account. He don't ask us to do this and to do that. And when you do this and when you do that, then you got to come back and you got to thank me for that. You got to ask me to do something else for you. No, he's not going to do that. He's not going to put that kind of pressure on you. But the Holy Spirit of God will put pressure on a Christian. And that pressure is the Word of God. Because there's a whole lot of things in this Bible that we don't do, and we should do. There's a whole lot of things that the Bible speaks of that we don't do, and that's the reason the church is in the shape that they're in. Why is the church in the shape they're in? Why are they? Because they done got away from God's word, because they will not go and tell people about what they're doing wrong. If we don't teach them when they first come up and get saved, if we don't teach them and if we don't lead them in the right direction, how are they going to learn? How are they going to learn? Are we going to send our children to school? We're going to send them to elementary school, we're going to send them to senior high school, we're going to send them to college and all that. And they don't have no teacher there. Yeah, they'll show up to college and think, hey, man, I'm going to love this place. I really do. I love this place. But you get there, what are they going to learn if they don't have no teacher? Nothing. They're not going to learn a thing. They're not going to learn the ABCs, the one, and the numbers and times and division and all that. They're not going to learn none of that if they don't have a teacher. to be able to teach them what 1 + 1 is. They're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know what to do with their daily lives. And I think sometimes you can say this too also. They're not going to even have the common sense to get out of the rain. That they'll walk from here to yonder to get to somewhere. Walk right straight in the rain, pouring down, getting soaking wet. But all they had to do was just talk to God. And God would not have put it on them to go right then. He said, let's talk a little while. Have you ever talked to God and then when you got through, you just forgot about the time? He's like, well, shoot, man, it's just 2 o'clock. Then you get to looking at the time after you got off the phone or whatever, or praying and just talking to God or talking to somebody else about the Lord, and you just forget about it. Till you get off of the subject that you're discussing. I mean, it was about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks now. I don't know who called first or whatever. I don't know if it was me called Bill first or Brother Bill called me that morning. But we got on the phone and we started talking and we started discussing some things that we needed to be discussed, and then we just got to talking about the church, got to talking about the Lord. And I told Bill, I said, Bill, I said, I want to thank you. I said, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I want to thank you for what you do. I want to thank you for praying for me. And when we got through, and I told him, I said, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. I said, if I cannot make it, I'll send my wife and I'll send my daughter. I said, but one of us will be there. I got off the phone that day and I looked. Because I was wondering, I said, what time is it? Because see, I don't have no great big clock like that is in my study. I got one of those small clocks that I can't see. I can't even hardly see it. I can't even imagine what it even looks like sometimes. But I got off the phone and I looked. I looked at the time. I seen what time the clock said that we I have been now. But then I said, well, I need to call Brother Paul Sisk. I got on the phone and I was going to call Paul Sisk. And I got to looking at the time again. I said, no, I missed. I'm going to be awful late to call him. And I looked at the time that I talked to Brother Beale on the phone, on my cell phone, or on the house phone. It gives you the time, how long you was on the phone with an individual. That day, me and Brother Bill, we was on the phone, mine said just a little over 2 hours. Now, These men I hear say something about the ladies. They'll get on the phone and they can talk for hours. I'm going to tell you one thing. The men have got the ladies beat in that department.
Amen.
The men just don't want to admit to it. But you might as well admit to it because God knows. And if you don't admit to it, and you say, no, it won't be. Well, what are you doing? You're just lying to God. That's the thing it is. You're just lying to God. But I tell you, I am so thankful that I know people that I can go to, that I can just call and start talking to them, and it would help me. Because I have pity me parties. I mean, I really have pity me parties. Our things don't nothing go right. And my wife tells me all the time, don't worry, don't worry. Which all that's reversed in the last few years. Because she used to be the one that worried about everything. It wasn't nothing I hear she didn't worry about. But now, it's been turned around. It's me. I'm worrying about this. I'm worrying about that. I worry about this church. I worry about the way it looks on the outside. And I worry about the way it looks on the inside. How people is going to perceive to see the church. I worry about it all the time. I know it's some more things that we got to do, but we can't do it until we get the money. Until God gives us the money. And I don't have no problem with that. Because I know God is going to give us the money. Because this building and the property that where this building sits on within this community in Ringo, Virginia is supposed to be the nicest looking and most well taken care of than any other place of a house, a home, a building, or anything. So if you got it, if it's a house down here that they doing something to it to improve it, then we must be doing something here to improve it. We must be doing more here at the church and improving God's place of worship. Because I do not think it was in the heart of the people that came out the first Sunday they came out and started this work. I don't think it was their intentions of just coming and just meeting and not praying for this and praying for that. What the intentions was. And I believe this really. And if I'm wrong, you correct me. But I don't believe I'm wrong. I don't know how many people came to the first service y'all had after Brother Poovey had left and resigned from what he was doing at South Hall. But I can say this, that it wasn't an individual that came that day that did not have on their heart to see that the building, the church, the people would not grow. That they would grow in the Lord and the people could grow to where the community can see where they have grown a little. If we don't grow as children of God, then what are we doing? We're sitting still. And if you sit still long enough, you better watch out, because then you're going to start going backwards. How am I going to go backwards if I'm standing still? Well, I'll tell you what, you go out there and you take any of these cars right here we got right out there right now. And you take it and you come off of that highway out there and just pull up in the parking lot. You can pull up and you can get out of the car. Don't put it in park. Don't put the handbrakes on. And what's going to happen? It's going to roll. You're going to roll forward. If you pull in, no. It's going to back up. It's going to go backwards. And that's what a whole lot of lives that we'll see today. Just as Christians. And I don't know why they don't want to serve God. Why do you want to serve second best? That's what a whole lot of people like. That's what gets me is you'll talk to them about this and about that, an automobile or a boat or whatever. They say, well, man, we'll get that. I'm spending about $200 or $300 and I can get one. A whole lot better than that. A whole lot better. But then, they end up thinking, and they end up talking to the bank, and end up talking to the wives and everything about getting that boat. That boat. And telling them the same situation, that this boat costs this much money. But now I can improve in what I get if I add $200 or $300 to that. I can get one that's got a bigger engine on it. I can get one that's a little longer, a little wider. And they say, well, why spend that extra money just for that little bit? And then they end up talking to the bank again and everything, and then they come to find out. They said it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the $200 or $300 to go that extra mile. So what did they do? They settled for second best. And we should not come to church in settling for second best. We should not even be even coming in church and saying anything at all about, well, I wonder if the Lord's going to save someone today. Well, when we said if, anytime you use the word if in any kind of dealing with God at all, you're putting a condition on him. Because see, my God, he don't need my permission. He don't need my permission for my brother to get saved. He don't need my position or my possession or whatever. And I don't have anything where I can improve this building and improve the building on the outside. And I ain't got nothing that can improve the parking lot outside. I've got nothing. Why? Because if I do, then what am I going to do? I'm going to depend on myself and getting those things done. You can't do it that way. And God says, I'm not a God. I'm not that type of God. I'm the type of God that you give me 10% of what you got, and then you sacrifice and you give me the offering of what you got. Then I will bless you and I will bless your household. Yeah, I don't need no house. I don't need no house to live in. I don't need no automobile that new as I got to drive. But I thank God for what he has given me. That it's for him and him alone. And I do. I thank God every day for what he's given me. I thank God for this church just about every day. I mean, I bring it up all the time. Because God, you know, God did not have to allow me to come here. Because I've learned so much. I've learned so much of what faith is all about by you that are here. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not think that there was anybody that had that much faith until I came here, until I met you. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Substance of things is hoped for. It's what faith is in. We need to put our faith in God and put it in heaven. Because we know, how many of you do you know that you've got an inheritance out of this world? I know I've got an inheritance. I know that my granddaddy and my grandmother and my mother and them, yeah, they come across and they had got a little money, but yet they ended up giving the money away. And yes, at that time I got a little upset with it. But then I got to thinking, I said, well, what in the world do I want with that little change? What do I need with that little change? When I know what my inheritance is, and I ain't got to worry about God giving my inheritance away. I ain't worried about God taking my inheritance that he has promised me. And for that next soul to come to Jesus, give them my inheritance. God don't work that way. When God promises something, he sticks to his promise. And we need to do the same. We need to do the same. I tell you, this right here is a church that believes in none other than God himself. You know how I know that? By each one of y'all's prayers, because I know you pray. We cannot, this building cannot, and this church cannot keep going. This church would have to close with probably within the next 30 days if y'all did not pray. If y'all did not pray, you'll probably have to close in 30 days. Why? Because we wouldn't have the money enough to keep everything going. We wouldn't have money enough to pay the air conditioning bill. We wouldn't have money enough this winter to pay the heating bill. We wouldn't even have nothing. But we have everything. What we need here at the church, we have it all. And how do we get it? By your prayers and my prayers. That's what we need to remember. There is power in prayer. I've heard people say, the devil, he's more powerful than anybody I know of. And I said, well, I don't think so. I said, because God the Father has more power than any living soul. And that includes the devil and all of his angels that came with him. But yet, they forgot about one thing. God says, now you have realized that I have more power than the devil. And I want to clue you in on a little something else. I want to reveal something to you. That you have power, my power, through prayer. And there is power in prayer. And it's unspeakable and full of glory. This is a kind of church. That Jesus Christ wants for us, that he wants us to be able to come to and worship him and talk about him and talk about God the Father, and don't talk about the devil. Don't talk about what he's doing and what he ain't doing and everything. Because if you do, you end up hurting yourself.
I'll be in the store or something like that, and we'll be walking, or I'll be riding or something like that, and I say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the devil, he's all over my back. He's all over me. Hey, I thank the Lord for that. You tell the reason why? Because see, as long as the devil is attacking me, as long as he's attacking my what little brain that I do have, and while he's attacking me and my faith and everything and telling me, well, I don't know why in the world you're going to do that, because you ain't going to do no more, waste your time. Because there ain't no way in the world they're going to ever get saved. I ain't supposed to look at it that way. I say, well, God, they're in your hands. You asked me to go and tell them. I went and told them. Now, Lord, it's up to you now to do your part.
Because you're the only one can do the saving. I can't. That's the kind of church that God is looking for. It's the kind of church that God desires to see even today. And I was reading in the Bible here the other day, and I was reading in the New Testament, I believe it was in Matthew. But what I read was that where people in general, they think about certain things that really they have no control over. They don't have no control. We don't have, really, we don't have no control over anything. But the Bible teaches us also, for us to be strengthened through the Word of God, it is that we need to go to God and we need to pray to Him, to the Father, because He is my Father. He is my Papa. He's my Daddy. He's my all in all. That's what He means to me. And I know that He's going to look after me. Is He going to look after you? The only way that God will ever look after His own is that they've got to follow His direction. And we know it's none other than the Word of God. You say, well, I've heard people say, well, I don't really care for the Old Testament. I even heard a preacher say this, come from his own mouth. He says, I never have preached out of the Old Testament. He says, because I don't understand the Old Testament. Hey, I love the Old Testament. Well, you know something? If we didn't have the Old Testament, we'd be lost. Because we wouldn't have a New Testament. Because see, something new has got to come up to where something was before. And the Old Testament was before the New Testament, so God, Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. He's in the New Testament. He's all through the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is also. And God the Father is also. So we must not think that we need anything else, because we don't. If we have them three living within our heart, and doing what they asked us to do, then it's nothing at all that we need. It's not a thing in this world I need. I don't know of anything else I need. Is there anything else you need? I don't know of anything else I need. Yeah, I could say something about my health and everything, but I don't need to do that. Because see, God's, you know, what did He say He was? He is the great physician. He's the head of all these doctors around town. See, all these doctors around town, they say they got PhDs and DCs and all that and everything. No, they don't. Only thing they've done is just put a PhD up on the board. That's all it done, because they do not, they cannot do nothing. Only thing they can do is take the knife and open that body. And they got to have God's direction in which way to open it and where they, what they're going to go in and try to do. So we don't need to look at the doctors. We need to just thank God for the doctors that we go to. That, Father, would you look after them today? Would you help them in the decisions and in the calls that they come up with today? And he will sure do it. He's my great physician. He's my all in all. He's my daddy. He's my papa. He's my father. He's just everything to me. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. I know, God, Father, maybe I went a little too long, but Lord, I just believe there was some words that you wanted me to say. And Lord, and you know me, I'm not going to just quit just to be quitting. I'm going to quit when you say quit. Now, Father, I pray for this week for your fresh anointing on the preachers that's going to be here and it's going to be here this week and preaching your word. Father, that where people can be able to grow and where the lost can come to know Jesus. And Father, and help us, Lord, that we may look at each and every individual that comes in, that we need to look to them like you look. You see a soul there. You see a soul that needs their life to be changed. And Father, we know that you're the only one that can change it. They can't, I can't, nobody else can but you. And Father, we pray for the people that's here. God, that you may give them this week, give them the knowledge that they need this week. And Father, I pray for their families also. Father, I don't know if all the families, or if I don't know if they're in church or what, Lord, but you do. And I pray, God, Father, if nothing else, Lord, that they may hear something about the Jubilee or what's going on down here. The Father, that they just want to come out. And Father, when they do come out this week, Father, we pray that you'll open their ears to hear what you have to say to them. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.